Coringile ate another bite of his raw cassowary, which he had managed to catch for himself that morning. They were now obliged to fend for their own meals again, without the very material assistance of the Larrakia hunters, who, even if they had not brought something pleasant back, would at least reliably be able to tell where one might find game, and piped, "But if it takes so long to make, and you do not sink the ships, won't they only wait until it is gone and then shoot afterwards?" "Well," Temeraire said, "but it would at the very least disrupt any immediate attack, and very likely make them confused.
And anyway, they will have a time beating back up into position, if only the wind should not be in the right quarter, that is. But I do not see why it should be."
"What are you working on?"
Iskierka said suspiciously, as she came landing with her own dinner, and looked over the figures. Of course, she did not understand a thing of mathematics, but only to be safe, Temeraire swept his tail tip over the diagram.
"It is none of your affair," he said loftily.
He did not intend to confide in Iskierka, of whom he felt a little wary. One could not rely on her to have the right sort of opinions in such circumstances as these. Granby was still in the service, of course, and so their interests might not be perfectly aligned. He felt rather more uncomfortable over having so far also avoided the subject with Lawrence, but he thought they might better discuss the matter a little later, once Temeraire had already worked out how to make the great waves. After all, so long as he could not do it, then there was nothing really to be spoken of. And when he had, he might then demonstrate the technique to Lawrence, which would certainly be a source of great relief and pleasure to him. Lawrence had not said anything on the subject directly, but he had encouraged the experiments, and asked Temeraire to consider how one might defeat a similar effort another time. And if Temeraire should happen to demonstrate it somewhere the ships could also see, perhaps this Willoughby person would be afraid, and Temeraire would never even need to use it directly upon them at all. He did not just yet think over what he would do otherwise, what else Lawrence might say. It seemed, after all, a great waste of time. One might even consider such ruminations to be an attempt to shirk the certainly very difficult work of learning how to make the wave. And there was no time to be wasted. The ships were almost surely only waiting for the tide to come in that night, so they might come further into the harbour and do their worst.
"I am going to find something more to eat,"
Temeraire announced, therefore, and flew out to make another attempt. It was not, after all, false. If there were any fish about when he worked the divine wind upon the water, they often came directly up, dead already, or at least so confused that one might just collect them without any difficulty. He had already made a handsome meal of them on his first pass, and the sea serpents had been pleased enough to take the leavings. He could see their heads breaking the water in the distance, peering at him in anticipation of more, even if they did stay properly and respectfully clear. He had more success this time in regulating the interval between the waves, and having sent out a series of them, pursued with one large, final roar, which did make his throat ache dully, and he was forced to stop and cough a little. But oh, what was any of that? For abruptly a great glassy hill was rising up out of the water. The swell went rushing away from him, eating every one of the little waves, climbing higher and higher until it would certainly have gone to the topmasts of the least, 30 feet and shining pale green, and Temeraire was compelled to fly around in several circles to express his delight as the whole struck upon the hidden reef half a mile further out and crashed in a thundering, foaming roar, very like an entire broadside firing off. There was no time to be lost. The boiling white sea foam was tinged pink with sunset, and Temeraire flew flat out to the shore and landed by the tents, calling,
"Lawrence, Lawrence, pray come and see!"
Lawrence looked up from the letter which he was writing. To be carried back to England by the ships, about Domaine, although privately Temeraire thought there was no reason why anyone should wish to be a captain in the corps any more. If the corps did not want Lawrence, their judgment was plainly unreliable, when even the Emperor had approved of him so highly, and Chan. Temeraire had not mentioned to Lawrence for fear of seeming an excessive brag, but her letter had mentioned him as well, and informed Temeraire that she felt he had made a most auspicious choice of companion.
"If you please, Lawrence, would you come and fly out with me?" Temeraire said. "I should like to show you something."
And Lawrence looked at the water lapping high upon the shore and said, "I will have my harness in a moment," and spoke to Granby briefly as he shrugged into the leather straps.
"My dear, I know the situation must give you great pain," Lawrence said, as Temeraire beat out. Not so very far this time, still in eyeshot of the harbour. "I cannot like asking you to bear an insult to the nation of, not precisely your birth, but your origin, and certainly of intimate concern to you. I beg you to believe I do it with the utmost reluctance.
Lawrence, you do not like it yourself at all, though, do you?
Temeraire said.
You do not think that Willoughby should behave so badly to our hosts. You do not approve.
No, Lawrence said, but I find there is very little to approve of, particularly in war or in the relations amongst nations. There is no secret of our colony in New South Wales, my dear. China certainly has known of it, and of our interests in the Indian Ocean trade. They cannot even pretend ignorance when they have been sending goods to Sydney herself. And there is certainly a degree of provocation in seizing upon a location so strategic and so very near the boundary of Cook's claim to establish their own holding.
But that does not excuse destroying the port, Temeraire said, and perhaps killing our friends. I do not see that Cook had any business claiming anything anyway, but even if one should make allowances for that, he has not claimed this, so it is not as though one could call it a real challenge. But, he added, stopping to hover, I do not mean to argue, Lawrence. I have something splendid to show you.
Lawrence paused and said, We might fly further out.
Well, Temeraire said, I particularly thought it might be useful if Willoughby might see it also from where he is.
He turned and looked, and the ships were making sail, the great billows of white spreading to catch the wind and come about into the harbour, and the guns had rolled out of the portholes, black tongues.
The tide is not wholly in yet, Temeraire cried in protest.
Lawrence laid a hand upon Temeraire's side.
My dear, pray let us go further. There is no reason you should be witness here.
But you do not understand, Temeraire said. I have done it. I have worked out how to make Lien's wave.
And on his back he felt Lawrence go very still.
No, Lawrence, I did not mean... Of course I did not mean that,
Temeraire said into that awful silence.
But if only they should see it, I thought they might not persist.
Lawrence paused, very long, and then he said,
A threat rarely suffices which you do not mean to carry out, and regardless... No, I will have no part of even issuing such a threat against the Navy. To prevent an officer of the King from performing his duty and from the commission of his orders would be equally grievous a crime whether committed by violence or mere intimidation. No, I have committed treason once, but in the service of a higher cause than nations, not the lower one of mere personal sentiment. I must beg you to excuse me.
He spoke with hard, bleak finality, and Temeraire shuddered with distress. He had not seen it so at all. He had not thought.
It need not be treason, surely, Temeraire said, not just to let them see.
But as he spoke, the protest shriveled small upon his tongue. He had known, of course. He had not spoken to Lawrence. He coiled around himself in distress, mid-air, and said,
Oh, I am so very sorry. Lawrence, I beg you will forgive me. You cannot think I would ever mean to ask anything like of you again, after everything so dreadful which has occurred, not just to defend a pavilion.
And he was very relieved to feel Lawrence's hand upon his neck, and added, to try and explain himself,
Only I cannot see how it can be right to only watch, as friends are hurt who have been so generous, and when the government, after all, has taken so much away.
By this argument you should soon reduce all loyalty to a mere competition of bribery, Lawrence said. If I had thought for one instant that those robes should so secure your affections as to make you wink at treason, I should have thrown them on the fire directly, regardless of what distress you might feel. And, he added, with a degree of heat, I am growing inclined to think Jarjan knew precisely what he did when he made you so extravagant a gift.
I do not mean only the robes, Temeraire protested weakly.
But he was very much shocked that Lawrence should even consider so hideous an act, and added,
And I hope you would never really do anything so dreadful. Of course I cannot help but feel kindly towards them, and the government is always behaving like a scrub. That is not any of their fault, and certainly it is no fault of the robes.
He looked back at the pavilion in much distress. The Otter, small and quick, had already turned broadside to the harbour, and as he watched and flinched, the roar of the cannon echoed across the water. The ball went sailing high. They had the cannon elevated, and came down upon one graceful, high-pointed corner of the pavilion's roof, in an instant carrying away the elaborately carved dragon and smashing through the tiles. A distant shriek of wood breaking, which sounded queerly as though it came from somewhere to the east, and a cloud of splinters bursting away. A clatter of more red tiles went sliding down into the gap, and the dark hole stood dreadfully jagged against the elegant line.
"Oh," Temeré cried in distress, "Lawrence, only look! And if anyone should have been below—"
He darted a little closer. Of course he would not do anything, not now he did see it must be still more wrong, but he could not help it.
"Temeré,"
Lawrence said.
"No, of course I will not," Temeré said despairingly. "I suppose I might not even knock down the cannonballs as they flew."
He did not know if the divine wind would allow it, but Lawrence's answer, whatever it might have been, was entirely lost to Temeré. Instead, all the world went spinning round and full of noise, roaring, and he was driven in a tumbling rush down into the ocean swell, green foaming light everywhere, choking into his nose and into his throat. Temeré struggled wildly to right himself, belling out his sides, and he burst back up through the surface, coughing and coughing.
"Lawrence!"
he managed, choking, twisting his neck around in panic. But Lawrence had not been snatched. He was there, streaming wet and short one of his boots, but dangling safely from his harness and pulling himself back into position.
"There!" Iskierka said, beating back up and away, looking down at him. "So much for your scheming, as though you were so very clever, and no one had any business making out that you meant to do something to the ships, behaving like a sneak."
"I did not at all,"
Temeré said, calling up at her wrathfully, because it was a wicked lie. He had never meant to hurt the ships.
"And I think you have been a great deal more of a sneak than I might have been in ages, jumping down upon me like that with no warning."
"You may complain all you like," Iskierka said, "but it is no more than you deserved. I will not let you hurt Granby in the service any more than you already have. He's going to be an admiral, and a lord, too, like Roland's mother."
"Pray be quiet, you wretched selfish creature,"
Granby said, calling through his speaking horn.
"Lawrence, are you all right? She would have it he meant to do something."
Lawrence was occupied with a racking cough, but he managed reassuringly to say,
"I have had a ducking before now. Perfectly well."
"Temeré did mean to do something," Iskierka said, "whatever he may say, and I have stopped him, which I hope you will tell that captain when he goes back to England. I'm sure they will be glad to hear of it,"
she added, in a very self-satisfied manner.
"Oh," Temeré said, "if I did mean to do something, you should never stop me."
And he took a deep breath and flung out his wings and beat them wildly, swelling out his side as much as he might, with a lashing of his tail and hind quarters as though he were trying to lunge back onto the Allegiance after a swim he managed to get back into the air. He meant to teach Iskierka a sharp lesson, despite Lawrence's protest, but gunfire called his attention back to the ships, the spattering of rifles going, and not the great guns. Tarunka had come flying out from the pavilion with a couple of men in belly netting, who were holding great dripping sacks. Temeré could smell the stuff even at the distance as they upended it over the otter and the nereid in turn, a clotted, dribbling mess of half-spoiled fish and rotting seaweed, black as tar. As Tarunka stayed quite high to be clear of the rifle fire, it splattered all over the sails and the poor sailors high up in the crow's nest, whatever did not miss the ships entirely and land in the water. It was not less than the ships deserved for their attack, but it seemed quite useless to Temeré. The bow chasers were perhaps splashed a little, and the carronades on the quarter-deck, but the gun-deck, of course, was not touched at all. The harbour bell was ringing as Tarunka flew hurriedly away to the shore, and then the waters of the harbour began to churn as one, and then another. The sea serpents breached the stained water and began to claw their way up the sides of the ships and onto the decks, stretching their long necks up towards the slurried sails.